It wasn't even spring yet.
What we have here today, obviously, is a devastating tornado.
I just remember sitting in the corner just bawling my eyes out because I grew up in Henryville. It was my town.
10 years ago, on March 2nd, 2012, Indiana experienced a rare phenomenon.
We have to have incredible amounts of low-level warmth and moisture.
You know, again, just to see that tornado just rapidly intensify right in front of us.
You have lots of twisting and turning with the winds as you go up.
Right there.
And it all just has to hit at the right time of day.
Get over here. Do we need to get a jump in a car?
You know, we didn't know what was happening in Henryville. We just knew it was going through that area.
The path length, we haven't determined yet.
I was a bit surprised in that it was so out of season.
I remember walking past, and there's this picture that's been nationally known, but when you saw it in person, it was totally different.
There was a decision made by a number of school districts after that conference call to go ahead and let their kids out sometime between 1:30 and 2 o'clock.
You're about to hear a story of the chaos of nature and the teamwork of the people who live under its rule. The work to save lives, despite the incredible forces determined to destroy it.
Our fatality numbers have not risen since this morning that we spoke.
It's the story of people who watch their homes and livelihoods disintegrate before them. Left helpless for a few minutes.
So we ended up having to evacuate our house.
But after those minutes were over, the work to help neighbors, to mend wounds, and to build hope again from the rubble on the ground begins.
One house is destroyed, one house isn't. One person dies, one doesn't. I don't think you can understand.
Go! Go! Go!
You're about to hear EF4, the power of the Henryville tornado.
Boy, it brings back a flood of memories. It was an unusually warm, just mild, muggy day.
Sam Lashley is the warning coordination meteorologist with the National Weather Service in Indianapolis. Unlike many people in southern Indiana who were going about their work and schooling on the morning of March 2nd, 2012, Lashley was paying close attention to the weather. His computer screens full of readouts and weather models had been telling him the ingredients for a major storm were coming together.
Severe storms and tornadoes were going early in the morning upstream. And at the time, I was living in the northern part of the state. And we knew 5 days ahead of time that was going to be a big day and a big event. So a coworker and I decided we were going to travel to southern Indiana and chase these storms.
I have a lot of memories of that day. I think the first one was I was a bit surprised in that it was so out of season.
Professor Dave Call now teaches climatology and meteorology students at Ball State University. In 2012, he was also doing some broadcast meteorology work on TV.
We've had a lot of out-of-season tornado outbreaks since then. We're seeing more tornado outbreaks in times of year we don't expect them, like November, October, and most recently, of course, December. But to me, I said, how can you get conditions this strong for tornadoes in early March? And it was one of these things, I didn't really believe it till I saw it. Of course, once I saw the storms then, it was obvious that this was an exceptional situation for any month of the year.
Caitlin Sigler won't forget that day.
Yeah, actually, I was in school at the time, which is at Silver Creek, which is about 5 to 10 miles down the road. But the same area, yeah.
Silver Creek High School is in Sellersburg, which, like Henryville, is just a few miles north of Louisville on I-65. Henryville's population, just under 2,000. On March 2nd, 2012, the teachers were busy educating the kids. But the administrators had been told that storms were coming, and they'd paid attention, action that would likely save children that afternoon. Sam Lashley was also educating his daughter.
At the time in the morning, we thought somewhere around the I-70 corridor was going to be sort of our target area. And at the time, I had a daughter in eighth grade who always wanted to go storm chasing. She was watching the Reed Timmer shows on Discovery, watching storm chasing. And I actually wanted her to understand there's a lot more human element and a lot more to what we do as scientists when we chase these storms. So I actually grabbed her, took her out of school that day, and she went with us.
Lashley says when he and fellow meteorologists chase storms, it's to learn more about them to help better protect life and property.
So we dropped down to I-70 and quickly realized we needed to get farther south. This was 11:30 in the morning. There were already two big supercells. Those are the thunderstorms that create these tornadoes. They had already developed across parts of Missouri and southern Illinois and were heading for the Henryville area. So we decided we needed to get down there right away.
They do happen here. Thankfully, the big outbreaks, the really damaging, destructive ones, don't tend to occur that often.
Dave Call, meteorology professor at Ball State University, who was doing some TV work the day the tornado hit Henryville.
Maybe once every 10, 20, or 30 years. That doesn't mean one can't occur this year, or even next year, or both years. But most years, we don't have to worry about those sorts of big outbreaks.
But March 2nd, 2012 was the exception. Caitlin Sigler was in class at Silver Creek High School in Sellersburg. She'd grown up in the area and knew the people, the buildings, the friends, and the personality of Henryville.
At first, it was like really nice weather, like you didn't think anything was going to be coming around, and then all of a sudden, just within an hour, 2 hours, everything just went black. Black, you would have thought it was midnight.
Having the confidence that some really rough storms were headed for southern Indiana, the National Weather Service Louisville office held a conference call.
We held a conference call a couple of hours before everything went on at 11:30. There was a decision made by a number of school districts after that conference call to go ahead and let their kids out sometime between 1:30 and 2 o'clock.
Joe Sullivan was the warning coordination meteorologist and, like Sam Lashley, had been watching supercell thunderstorms form and had been watching the weather system approaching southern Indiana.
We never tell anyone to evacuate per se, but we tell them what time we expect the storms to come through, and we did give them a time frame that would be around 2 o'clock. So, we can't make the decision for school administrators to release her, but we think it was a very wise decision in this case.
And we actually drove through Henryville about 10 minutes before the tornado itself went through downtown.
Coming up, were you able to see the tornado that hit Henryville and see what it was doing?
Yeah, actually, we were at the corner right downtown Henryville.
You're listening to EF4, the power of the Henryville tornado.
We knew 5 days ahead of time that was going to be a big day and a big event.
How do you predict something like that 5 days out?
These big events that generate these large outbreaks, they show themselves pretty well. And then it becomes not a matter of if, but more where. Where are we going to narrow it down?
You're listening to EF4, the power of the Henryville tornado.
We look at the jet stream. We look at things that actually are going on in the Pacific Ocean, like El Nino or La Nina. We know springs like this year with La Nina, that tends to make the jet stream more active. We get a lot more moisture, so we get the fuel for these storms. And our computer models have really come a long way over the last 10 to 20 years with improvements.
Are y'all okay over there?
Yeah, we're good.
As the massive storm formed and finally dropped a tornado in southern Indiana, people had their smartphones and devices out, taking video as the storm crossed mainly rural areas. About 11:30 on March 2nd, 2012, National Weather Service forecasters in Louisville held a conference call warning people in charge of schools that a dangerous storm system would likely bring tornadoes. In Henryville, the decision was made to end school early.
We actually drove through Henryville about 10 minutes before the tornado itself went through downtown.
Sam Lashley is warning coordination meteorologist with the National Weather Service in Indianapolis. At the time of the Henryville tornado, he lived and worked in northern Indiana. But that morning, he, his daughter, who was in eighth grade, and a coworker decided to try and intercept the storm. The goal? To learn more about the storms and how to better protect people and property.
Yeah, actually, were at the corner right downtown Henryville. There was about three cars ahead of us at the stoplight, stop sign downtown. And the sirens were going off. People in the cars in front of us were just taking their time, having a normal conversation. I vividly remember a woman was walking her dog on the sidewalk as if nothing was going to happen.
The storm had touched down in Washington County. By the time it was approaching Henryville, the winds were nearly 200 miles per hour. On the way, it ripped pieces of pavement from some roads, a sign of a tornado of enormous strength.
And when we got to that intersection, we looked off to the west, and we could just see that big wedge tornado in the distance. And at that point, it was still a good 10 miles to the west, but it was just clearly visible to us.
The tornado is? There it is. There's a tornado right here. She says it's on the ground. Get the dogs. This is it right here.
So we're honking the horn, rolling our windows down, yelling at people to get inside, get to shelter. And then we quickly drove south and got about 2 miles south of Henryville. And there it became very evident off to the west. And we stopped and took video of it as it moved to the northeast. So it was a pretty surreal moment in my career as a meteorologist and a storm chaser.
And putting those hats aside for a moment, and just as a human being, knowing that this tornado is going into a populated area, what do you feel as an observer seeing that happen?
You know, it's just a pit in the bottom of your stomach. I can't really describe it, because we knew already that this tornado had done a lot of devastation and was very large. We were already calling the National Weather Service in Louisville to let them know what we were seeing. They already had a warning out. They had warnings out an hour ahead of that tornado.
When the tornado crossed into Clark County, its strength was demonstrated by the destruction of well-built homes and some buildings being thrown 100 yards into the air. Several cows were missing on one farm and were never found. At the Henryville School Complex, an announcement was made that students would be boarding buses and heading to safety. It appeared as if the tornado was headed straight for the schools.
That's the most insane thing I've ever seen in my life.
You know, again, just to see that tornado just rapidly intensify right in front of us. And at the time, you know, we didn't know what was happening in Henryville. We just knew it was going through that area. But we had a lot of trees and woods in front of us, so we could only see the top half of the tornado at that time.
Oh, my. Holy s***. Oh, my f***ing gosh. Dude, that's insane. Look at the f***ing shade, man. Oh my gosh.
Audio from one of the school buses caught in the storm.
Everybody get to the middle of the bus. Everybody stay together. All our group together right now. Go, go, go. Go, go, go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, come on, 10, 11, go.
All right, guys, so here's the deal. We just had a huge tornado come through. We're in Henryville, Indiana. You can see there, it just wiped out everything. It passed about maybe 100 yards away from our house.
Justin Hazuga came out from shelter and immediately began videoing the damage, the destruction of his town.
I mean, right there, there's a school bus that's flipped over. And on the other side over here, there's a school bus that was pushed through a building. See if I can show that to you guys. Here's a truck Here's a van that got pretty pummeled. There's the school bus through the house, or through the, it was, used to be a little restaurant. And I've never seen anything like this before.
I remember walking past, and there's this picture that's been nationally known, but when you saw it in person, it was totally different. We had this little ice cream shop across the street from the school, and a bus had picked up by the wind, and it was thrown into that building backwards. And it's very sickening.
Caitlin Sigler, Henryville resident.
I remember our lights went out and people were like listening on their MP3s to the radio stations, and they were saying, Henryville's gone, Henryville's gone. No more rivalry. And I just remember sitting in the corner just bawling my eyes out because I grew up in Henryville. It was my town. And I just am thinking, I'm not going to go home to anything.
This is total destruction out here right now. There's no reports yet on how many people were hurt or killed. Power's out naturally. I mean, you can see the power lines are just tangled in mess, you know. There's the school right there. That was Henryville High School. And I think that was the middle school over there. But it's completely gone. I'm going to walk around a little bit more and see if anyone needs help.
At that time, I was working in television, and I was getting in some of the initial footage coming in from news choppers.
Dave Call teaches meteorology at Ball State University.
And to see the devastation, I could immediately tell that we were looking at EF3, EF4, possibly EF5 devastation. And when you get tornadoes that strong, there are almost always some people that are going to lose their lives. And so that was really heartbreaking to see the signs of such strong devastation in the immediate aftermath of the storm. And know that we're going to get some really bad news.
Very, very disturbing. This is the elementary school. Still don't know if there's anybody trapped inside. The whole town is just completely destroyed. It would be amazing if there's no injuries. This is unreal. I really don't know what else I can say.
As it left Henryville, the tornado weakened, but re-intensified by the time it reached Marysville and completely leveled more homes as it crossed into Jefferson County and the town of Chelsea. It finally dissipated after crossing the Ohio River into Kentucky. You're listening to EF4, the power of the Henryville tornado.
This ranks one of the tops, like I say, in my career, as being one of the most devastating tornadoes in the past 30 years I've been doing damage assessment work.
You're listening to EF4, the power of the Henryville tornado.
It was a mess. Sorry, I'm going to try not to get upset about it.
We know we have a lot of homeowners that are coming back in the area. They're wanting to check their property, and we're allowing them to do that. If you are not a homeowner and you can't prove to us that you're a homeowner here in the affected areas in Clark County, then we're not going to let you in. It's that simple. We're keeping out folks, would-be looters, whatever.
It was like going into a war zone, it felt like, because, I mean, nothing was the same. Everything was gone.
Your EF4 and EF5 tornadoes, at that point, you were looking at structures that have been obliterated, even well-built structures, or structures that have completely disappeared. And that was one sign with the Henryville tornado that right away we were looking at very high-end damage, because we saw large things like school buses that had been thrown into buildings.
Professor Dave Call, who teaches meteorology at Ball State University. He was working in television at the time of the Henryville tornado.
We saw places where you could see that there was remnants of a house, but you couldn't make out any walls or anything other than you knew there was a house there because there was a driveway and some bushes and trees and all sorts of stuff, but you couldn't tell if it was a ranch house or a two-story house or any of that.
It's at least 52 miles in length from where we believe it started to where it crossed the river and went over into Kentucky.
Joe Sullivan, National Weather Service, Louisville, describing the initial assessment of the tornado from March 2nd 2012.
In all three locations that our teams have been out, we've determined it's at least a low-end EF4, which places it in the top 2% of all tornadoes, tornado intensity of all tornadoes that have ever occurred. So it's in that violent category that most tornadoes never come anywhere near to.
Caitlin Sigler was not in Henryville when the tornado hit. She and her mom drove back into the town later.
Me and my mom are trying to get into our town, and they've already got, everything is already blocked off. They had the National Guard and Red Cross, everybody blocking 31 and 65, the interstate. They wouldn't let anyone in unless you showed your ID to prove that you lived in Henryville in that area.
Hopefully if there's any people trapped inside this, they'll get out. You can hear the sirens in the background. So, if you were in this area, I hope for all the best, because this is horrific.
Justin Hazuga with video images taken just after the tornado left Henryville.
All right, guys, this is the other side of the school. You can see the gymnasium was completely torn down. There's a light pole that's just kind of hanging there. I live over there, and it seems to have been the least touched area of Henryville. Another 100 yards or so to the west, and it would have been our house.
Right as that tornado was going through Henryville, we had to actually get in our vehicles and get south because there was a second supercell with a tornado about 10 minutes behind and just a little south of this first one. So as we drove south, we then kind of made a U-turn, came back up through some country roads.
Sam Lashley, warning coordination meteorologist with the National Weather Service in Indianapolis, who was chasing that day 10 years ago.
We just gradually started to see sporadic damage, a few trees down here, maybe some siding off some houses. But then as we got further north towards the main path, which was up towards Marysville, which, if I remember right, is just east of Henrysville, that's when we came across the just widespread devastation. Trees were debarked. There wasn't a lot of foliage on the trees at this point because it was early March. But just, trees completely debarked. Houses completely destroyed, first responders everywhere, power lines down, and again, most roads coming north were closed. We were able to finally find one road and able to get through that.
Been over to the school, you know what I'm talking about with the school buses that have had the chassis ripped off, cars that are lined up, the missiles that flew into the school.
I knew those hallways, I could walk it blindfolded backwards. I spent all kinds of time at that school growing up and walking the streets, going back and forth from home to school because I live so close.
Having been to the school, I cannot I can't emphasize how fortunate it was that the school had let everyone out beforehand, because if we'd had a couple hundred kids in there, we would not be standing here saying that there was just one fatality. There would have been many, many fatalities in that school.
We had to park our car right at that entrance where we had to show our IDs because they wouldn't let us drive for whatever reason. So we actually had to walk for another couple miles just to get to our house, and I almost didn't even recognize it. The roof was ripped off from the storm, and then right after the storm, it was just hail and big, balls, basketball-sized hail was through our roof and through our floors.
Imagine having your livelihood, the way that you make a living for your family, the house you've bought or built, and the life that you've made for yourself taken with the wind. The people of Henryville know that feeling. Wayne Hunter lost his life. His daughter Pamela on CNN.
They were in the safest spot in the house. It was the very middle of the house. There's no windows. They shut the doors and they cover up with a blanket.
Hunter was retired. He was also a volunteer firefighter who protected his wife. She lived through the storm. They were found 30 feet apart, says Wayne Hunter's son, Rodney.
He covered her up and protected her with a with a wood door.
We do what we think have some good news is that our fatality numbers have not risen since this morning that we spoke. So we think that's some very good news. We're still at 14 throughout southern Indiana, and our thoughts and prayers go out to the families of the 14 folks who are deceased.
And sadly, roughly two-thirds of deaths come from the EF4 and EF5 tornadoes. Even though they're less than 1% of tornadoes, their damage is just so complete that it's very difficult to survive unless you're underground.
And the whole time that you are driving through these areas and talking to these people, your daughter is in the car. What was she saying, and what was her reaction to this?
Yeah, she was very quiet through the whole time. But my coworker and myself, you know, we were talking to her the whole time and explaining and saying, you know, this is what you don't see on television from these shows. They're, you know, it's sensationalized a little bit, but there is a human element. And so we were talking about, you know, people were in danger, and unfortunately there were probably going to be fatalities, because we know as meteorologists just how devastating and large these tornadoes were.
What may have saved lives on that day? A long warning time, as much as an hour for some of the tornadoes that hit, including the one in Henryville.
We do know that we have one fireman who said he heard the sirens go off and drove across Floyd County to another fire station, came back here before the tornado actually hit in Henryville.
And on the radar, you might have heard this term called debris ball. That ring a bell to anyone?
Ron Presbolinski, part of the National Weather Service Damage Survey Team.
So that debris ball is where you see the actual buildings, structures, trees being lifted up by the actual vortex itself, the tornado itself. And usually that can rise to as high as about 5,000 feet. And we can observe this on the actual Doppler radar.
That can give the Weather Service team more confidence that a tornado has actually touched down. It also gives them more information to give the public for warnings.
And we've already received reports from about 68 miles northeast of Henryville. There's some documentation from the banks here that fell out of the sky. So we've got debris in Hebron or New Hebron in Kentucky and across the river in Ohio, 68 to 70 miles away of debris that was picked up here being deposited there.
The whole randomness of a tornado is amazing.
Out of the 11 deaths from the Henryville tornado, Wayne Hunters was the only one in Henryville. His nephew contemplates.
They hit, one house is destroyed, one house isn't, one person dies, one doesn't. I don't think you can understand that.
You're listening to EF4, the power of the Henryville tornado.
It's crazy to me, and I don't admit it really to anyone, but I still have a very bad fear of storms.
You can see there, it just wiped out everything.
10 years ago, the skies over southern Indiana turned dark, and a powerful EF4 tornado destroyed much of Henryville and damaged homes and businesses in several counties before dissipating in Kentucky. The long warning times for the tornadoes that day likely saved hundreds of lives.
There has been loss of life in both Kentucky and in Indiana. I think it's a great success of the entire warning program, how it works with the National Weather Service, with all the media, social media, everything.
Joe Sullivan with the National Weather Service in Louisville.
Everybody knew that this was coming, and they let school out early so that the kids wouldn't be there. And so I just want to get that down right now, that this could have been an incredible tragedy with scores of fatalities. So it's been a very good day in that respect.
In the last 10 years, what has happened that has made warnings better?
We've had a lot of upgrades with our National Weather Service Doppler radar. We have something that's called dual polarization. It's able to see inside the clouds in a little bit of a three-dimensional aspect.
Definitely a tornado on the ground. I hear it.
It can tell the size of raindrops. It can tell, it can distinguish between rain and hail in the clouds.
In the air.
And then it can also pick up on debris that is being lofted by tornadoes into the atmosphere.
And Sam Lashley, warning coordination meteorologist with the National Weather Service in Indianapolis, says that's when you hear the term radar-confirmed tornado.
In the 10 years since then, we've learned a lot more about what some of these new products that we can generate from that data can tell us. And we've become better at warning for tornadoes and assessing tornadoes more quickly.
Dave Call, meteorology professor at Ball State University, says that means you can better tell now what that data means, and so can the people in charge of warning you and your family.
And not just meteorologists, but non-meteorologists too can now start to learn those things. I think that helps increase our ability to respond when people who aren't in the weather service, who don't work with this stuff on a daily basis, so people like broadcast meteorologists, private meteorologists, emergency managers, and other sorts of first responders can look at some of these new products now and much more easily assess for themselves whether a tornado is going to come. That helps speed up response.
And the chasers and spotters are still out doing their jobs. Lashley says for the most part, the people who are chasing and spotting are doing it for scientific reasons and to help.
And research has shown that when you have reliable reports of severe weather, whether it's damaging winds, large hail, or tornadoes, when you have those credible reports that it's occurring, people will take our warnings more seriously and will act much quicker versus if it's just a radar indicated and no verification of it, then they tend to be a little bit more complacent.
Another challenge, though, we do face with tornadoes, especially as we get into the Midwest and the southeastern states, is they're not typically the beautiful photogenic tornadoes we see all the time on videos from the Great Plains. Out here, our tornadoes tend to be lower to the ground. They're more likely to be enshrouded in clouds of rain, and we have a lot more hills and trees that makes it tougher to see them. And that's a problem because a lot of times people see a warning and the first thing they do is look out the window for visual confirmation.
To help people better trust those warnings, Lashley and other Weather Service meteorologists train storm spotters.
So we get a large, diverse group of people. Some people just show up to learn more about severe weather and weather, and that's fine. But many of them, after this training, it takes about 2 hours. We talk about different kinds of severe weather, safety rules, what to look for outside in the clouds. So once we get through that training, then we ask people to fill out a form and become an official spotter in our database for the National Weather Service. And then we rely on their trained knowledge and their trained reports to send us information back.
I'm scared.
It's gonna be okay.
You okay, Mom, Pat? I'm all right. I'm not. This is scary.
Gonna be fine. So we'll through in a few minutes.
Oftentimes, now when you hear a tornado warning, you hear the statement, put as many walls between you and the tornado as possible. Dave Call says that's advice that could save your life.
And one thing I hear meteorologists say a lot now, which I think is great, is if you're in a structure and you don't have a basement available, you want to get to a place where you can put as many walls between you and the tornado as possible. We've told people for years to go to interior rooms or bathrooms away from windows, but this statement, put as many walls between you and the tornado as possible, really helps you think about other possibilities. Like in my house, the best place to go is a closet in my daughter's bedroom, where in all directions there's two walls between me and the tornado. If you do that, you can survive just about any tornado except the worst ones, which are, again, once every 10 or 20 years.
Call says that even though the messaging and much of the technology is the same as it was 10 years ago, it's still important for people to understand the difference.
It's an investigated fabrication. It's weather season. Duck season.
Not again.
What's wrong, baby?
I'm trying to hear about duck season and rabbit season, but they keep talking about this stupid tornado.
Between a tornado watch and a warning.
There is a tornado watch. Let's go.
Oh, come on, Mary. We've had a watch every day for 2 months. Nothing ever happens.
And young Sheldon and family made it out okay, by the way.
There's a surprising amount of ignorance about the difference. A watch means watch out. Keep your eyes about you. Keep your wits about you. Keep your phone on. Look at the radar if you need to. A warning means take action immediately. So a good way to think of a watch is prepare with a warning, take action now.
And while you hear the term supercell quite often, those types of intense thunderstorms usually account for the biggest and baddest of tornadoes, like the one that hit Henryville. Sam Lashley says the Weather Service and the National Severe Storms Forecast Center are interested in studying other types of situations in which tornadoes occur.
Especially here in Indiana, a lot of our tornadoes, 70% of our tornadoes are considered the low end of the EF scale or the weak scale. So it's EF zeros or EF ones. Those are not associated with these big supercells. Those come from these lines of thunderstorms that we see quite frequently. And these tornadoes sometimes just spin up very quickly, produce their damage very quickly, and then they're gone. Very difficult to get warnings out on those.
Lashley says their studies on those types of storms have allowed meteorologists to identify what comes along with those smaller tornadoes to be able to get warnings out quickly, even though the quick nature of the small twisters is a challenge.
Yeah, for years it was these supercell thunderstorms that were just always studied and studied out in Oklahoma and Nebraska and Kansas. So again, we've learned a lot. There's still a lot to learn from that, but nobody was really studying these tornadoes that impact the eastern half of the country, east of the Mississippi River.
Whether it's from one of the small spin-up tornadoes associated with a squall line or one of the large EF4s or 5s that are rare and come from a supercell thunderstorm, meteorologists are looking to learn. Like the forecasters who issued the first tornado warnings in the 1940s, they look for analogs or sets of weather conditions that have produced tornadoes before and are likely to again. They also use the electronic data recorded during tornado outbreaks and up-close encounters to learn more about the storms and improve warning time to give you the best chance for survival.
It's just, you can't explain that feeling when you know there's a large tornado, you know people are going to die, and you're doing everything you can.
Survival didn't happen for Wayne Hunter in Henryville. His daughter and son mourning when they talked with CNN soon after the storm.
He'd be able to put a smile on everybody's face right now with all the demolition going on here.
Yeah. What do you think he'd make of all this?
He'd be taking pictures
and a lot
posting
of jokes.
Them on Facebook.
And making a lot of jokes.
But Caitlin Sigler's family did survive and repaired the property damage. Sigler says that thanks to the Henryville storm, she's changed some.
Especially when I know that there's a tornado in the area, I start shaking. I have really bad anxiety from it, but I do my best to avoid it. Especially like when I'm at work or when I'm around others, I try to hold it in.
You're listening to EF4, The Power of the Henryville Tornado, written and produced by Chris Davis. Special thanks to Dave Call, Sam Lashley, Caitlin Sigler, Justin Hazuga, Kurt Darling, the producers of Young Sheldon, and the many people who work to save lives by learning about tornadoes.